All right, Shavuosai, good evening. Good evening. Let's begin. So I think we have to first finish up a couple of Marmer Kamos from part three. Is that correct? From last week's source packet. And then what I did for tonight, by the way, is the packet you have tonight, this packet over here, the one that went down on the chat, this is the rest of Borer that we're going to do. It's not the rest of Alach of Borer. There's still more to Borer, but the rest that we're going to do. And Amir Hashem, we'll see what we get through tonight. So we left off in last week's Maamar Kamos, I believe we left off at source number 11, if I remember correctly, Rav Avadji Yosef. So Rav Avadji, again, you might have left off a little bit earlier, even at 10, but it's fine, we'll get to number 11. So we'll say, so remember again, Rav Avadji here, just an important qualification or clarification, he writes as follows. He says, Shemashi Etira Lekalif B'Shab. So remember again, last week we were engaging in the discussion regarding peeling fruits and vegetables. So remember again, the Shulchan Aruch Paskind, that halach l'maisa, you're allowed to go ahead and peel onions and garlic, provided that you are using it immediately. Aye, isn't that borer? Isn't that borer? So is the answer. That's derech achila. There's no other way to access the item. And therefore, halach l'maisa, that's derech achila. That's the normative manner of consumption, and therefore it's permitted. So if you remember again, we took it a step further and we explained about peels, where let's say again, the person normally eats it. Right? So let's say an apple. So an apple, because people normally consume the peel, therefore there's really no borer involved in that in general. We spoke about chicken, right? Whether or not a chicken, again, is that a din of borer, not a din of borer? Okay. So along the same lines, Rav Avadji writes as follows. He says, Mashe tira lekalif b'shabas peros o yirako. So again, assuming that halach l'maisa, you're allowed to peel vegetables on Shabbos. So whatever the metzias is, whether it's a vegetable or a fruit that's normally consumed with its peel, in which case you could peel it whenever you want, or if it's not normally consumed with its peel, then you could peel it, but only in close proximity to eating. He says, you're allowed to peel it even with a peeler. Rabbi Chaim, you could come. You could. I don't know the stuff that's behind. You could just no. Rabbi Chaim Wacker, not Chaim. It's you could just move everything aside. So Rav Avadji says you could even use a peeler. Now, listen. Now what's Rav Avadji's logic? If you look in the footnote there, number 11, he says again last week's Maamar Kamos. He says Shemi Ach Velo Asur LeKalif B'Shabbos Shum Borer Memela Eina Makalif Nechshav Kli HaMiyuchal LeBreira VeDami LeSakin Shemutra LeKalof Bo B'Shabbos. So Rav Avadji paskins that in general, a peeler is not considered to be a kli that is miyuchad for borer. Instead, he understands that a peeler, it's just a fancy knife. So therefore, in any scenario where you are permitted to peel a fruit or a vegetable, you're allowed to use a peeler. So again, let's just bring this together. So remember, there are two different scenarios for peeling fruits and vegetables. Scenario one is a fruit item where the peel is never eaten. So a good example of that is a Shulchan Aruch, onions and garlic. It's always peeled. Let's assume for a moment, it's always peeled. Salach l'maisa, you could peel it, but you need to peel it immediately before eating. Close practice, Miyad, Rav Avadji says you could use a peeler. Second category, items normally consumed with their peel, in which case there's no borer at all. You could peel it whenever you want. And again, simalach, you could use the peeler. Okay, some other examples or some of the interesting cases. Number 12, Shmir Shabbos Kilchusa writes, Umotar lahasir b'samuch la'achila es tivias hama'afia hamidubekes alki karlechem. Oh, Allah Hala. So, you don't see this in America, but you see this in Eretz Yisrael, right? You buy challah from Angel's Bakery, and what does it have on it? It has an Angel's sticker. Has a sticker on it, right? So it's interesting. So now I want to remove the sticker. So is that a din of borer or not? So Shmir Shabbos Kilchusa writes, he says, essentially, the challah with the sticker is no different than the onion with its peel. In other words, so I'm allowed to do it even though it would seem to be a paradigmatic case of borer because I'm removing the psolas from the ochel. But since, again, there's no other way to consume it, therefore, halach l'maisa, it's permitted. So, but he writes over here in the footnote, he says something interesting. He says, he also brings down about removing a little bit of the challah with it, but we'll leave that for later. So, v'tov la'asos kin acharei b'tzias hapas, k'dei lishmor ashlemos hapas. This is actually interesting. And he says, if you're going to remove the sticker, best to remove the sticker after hamotzi. Why? Because what inevitably happens when you remove the sticker? Some of the challah comes with it. If some of the challah comes with it, the loaf is no longer shalem, is no longer complete. And therefore, again, for Lecha Mishnah and Shabbos, you want two shlemos. You want two complete loaves. All right, interesting halacha. Yes?
This and the vegetables, are they all examples of what we define as a mixture?
So remember, we constantly go back to this, that in halacha, the definition of a mixture is so complicated and even somewhat convoluted, because you would think this doesn't appear to be a mixture. Why? Because again, it's so clear that you have like these disparate pieces. You have the sticker, you have the challah. Yet it appears to be that in any case, for the two items are literally attached to each other, everyone is going to agree that that constitutes a mixture. So the peel is attached to the fruit, the sticker is attached to the challah, even though they're clearly visibly distinguishable, nevertheless called a mixture. Yes, Justin. The pasture, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, remember, it's total. You could do it. You could do it. You just need to do it right before consumption. All right. So take a look at number 13. Another just interesting application here. He says, "Kishaposeach melon muter lahasias hagarinim shebo bechevan shebila deze iefsha lahagia el basaro." I open up a cantaloupe, and I want to scoop out the pits. Right? I want to scoop out the stuff on the inside. Now again, I will say, "Bepashtos, that's borer." I'm removing the pits. I'm removing the stuff from inside the fruit. But once again, since there's no other way to access the fruit other than to remove the pits, therefore, that's not called the act of borer. Okay. However, again, behushiyasa zos samach lusu dosa. But once again, you should do it in close proximity to eating. So I'll say what he's pointing. What's interesting about this case is essentially the what's the technical term for the stuff on the inside of the melon? The seeds, I guess, right? Like a cantaloupe. All right. The seeds on the out on the inside are no different than the peel on the outside. Right. So again, on a technical level, it is borer. But at the end of the day, since there is no other way to consume the item, therefore it's going to be permitted. But halacha l'maisa, one should do it in close proximity to eating. So Moshe says, this is actually very important to halacha, because let's say sometimes a person serves melon, right, the slice of cantaloupe, for an appetizer. Right? So you want to go ahead and you want to prepare it beforehand. So halacha l'maisa, again, if you're opening up the melon on Shabbos and cleaning it on Shabbos, it really has to be done in close proximity to the meal. No. This is all assuming you're not taking any cantaloupe with it. This is assuming you're mamish precision over here. Because if you're taking other stuff with it, we're going to see that halacha in just a little bit.
Now what about pits of watermelon?
So pits, what do you want to do with them?
Let's say you want to take the pit out first.
Before. So again, I think it would be the same halacha. In other words, you could do it right before you eat it. You couldn't do it ahead of time. Couldn't do it. Bepashtos, the pits in the world, the same thing as the seeds in the cantaloupe. So you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it because, again, that could be considered to be the way that a person eats it. Right? But lamaisa, only in immediate proximity to eating itself. Good. So I'll share with you just, so another interesting halacha over here is in Simen Shin Yud Tes Sif Tes Zayin. And then I think we're going to skip to the next packet. This is just interesting. So look what the Shulchan Aruch writes. He says, this is Shin Yud Tes Tes Zayin. Mayim Shiyesh Boim Toloim. So this is an interesting case over here. You have water with insects. Like, not microscopic stuff, like literal insects. So what's Talacha? Mutra L'shtosan Ayidei Mapa B'Shabbis Delo Shayich Borer U'Meshamer Ela B'Miskana Inyon. So, without delving into the Shulchan Aruch's exact example, his example over here is, if you can imagine, you have a water with insects. So what do you want to do? You want to put a little cloth on top of your mouth and drink the water through the cloth. That's borer. So what the Shulchan Aruch is introducing us to is the following idea, that borer done during eating itself is not called borer. So I give you a perfect example of this. You go ahead and you're eating a piece of fish and there's a bone in the fish. You're allowed to remove the bone, right, from the fish that's in your mouth. It's borer, removing psolas from ochel. Once you're already in the act of consumption, ultimately, again, there's no longer any borer. Now, it happens to be interesting. So in a case where I'm literally eating, right? In this case, I'm drinking the water. I'm drinking it through the cloth. No borer. The fish is in my mouth. I want to pull out a bone. No borer. There's an interesting machlokas. We're not getting into it. But there's an interesting machlokas about how do you define the act of eating? Right? It's interesting, right? Is the act of eating... All right, so we'll say, is the act of eating literally just called when the food goes into your mouth? or maybe in the immediate moments before it goes into your mouth, that's also called eating. So I give you just a good example of this. There's an interesting shot that comes up. Is let's say I'm going ahead and I'm eating a peach, right? So let's say for a moment, just for illustrative purpose, I cut the peach in half. Right? So I'm eating like a cross section of the peach. So I will say, so obviously, if I put the peach into my mouth, I could pull the pit out of my mouth, or a plum, I could pull the pit out of my mouth. The shot is right before I put it in my mouth, could I just pull the pit out? Can I just pull the pit out? Because after all, again, this is. I'm literally right about to take a bite out of it. Can I pull the pit out? So just know that that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. Everyone agrees that, of course, when you're actually involved in the act of eating, right, the food, of course, you could pull out the watermelon seed, the fishbone. Immediately before you put it in mouth, can you pull out the pit? Can you pull out the bone? Just know that that's a machlokas. Again, we just wanted to mention it. All right, so let's with that, let's move on to this week's Bar Mikomos. That you can see on the practical examples over here. So I put it over here. Number one, she's removing a pit from fruit, right? So the Mishnah Berura actually says that Me'ikra Adin is Mutar. So according to Mishnah Berura, if you, let's say, had that peach, let's say the cross section of the peach or the plum, and you wanted to pull out the pit right before you put it in your mouth, it will be Mutar. The Chazon Ish says that it's Aser. The Chazon Ish says you'd have to remove the fruit from the pit, and you can't remove the pit from the fruit. Okay, so I want to move down a little bit. I want to move down. There's a lot of interesting cases here, but I want to go to Roman numeral number 2, which is page 2 on your sheet, source number 6. And I will say a lot more that we're not going to cover over here in Hilchos Bora. It's on the Ma'an Hakomo sheet. You can look it on your own. But I want to get to this interesting topic here of removing food with psoles. So I will say, so this is a big topic. This is a big topic. Okay, let's take a look at number 6, the Taz. Right? So everything starts with the Taz. It says the Taz. Yesh Isser. Kishenoflim zvuvim lakos. We'll say, now watch this. I'm drinking a glass of wine, and a fly falls into the wine. So also, you have to understand something. You know, we live in a very disposable society. So bepashtos, if a fly falls into my wine, what am I doing? Pouring out the wine. Naturally, I'll tell you where this does come up. It's come up a lot, especially during Sukkot, right? Because the mice, if you're outside again, whatever. So here, Taz dealing with, I don't want to pour out the wine, so what could I do? So the fly falls into the wine. So what's the halacha? He says, "Shelo yotzi azvuvim levadna mirakos to have likabar psoles." So obviously, again, let's go through this. What can't I do? What can't I do? I can't just lift up the fly out of my cup, right? That I know I can't do because that's mamish borer. I'm sorry. I don't know that it's muktzah because I need to get it out. There's a tzorech for it. I can't drink the wine with the fly in there. Sarkufa makomo, yeah. I mean, it's not a klishmat lizer, but I think bepashtos, because it's almost like in the ochel, it may even have like a little bit like a shtickle status of ochel, and not. So anyway, I can't just take it out directly. So what could I do? Elo yikach min hamashke ktsas imoim. So the Taz is the one who introduces this concept that a way to just circumvent the issues of borer in totality is don't just remove psoles. Rather what? Remove some ochel together with the psoles, and now suddenly it's not borer. Otherwise, it was like, let's take a step back. The whole yisod of borer is I have a mixture. One item I want, one item I don't want. So what does the halacha say? You can't remove the item you don't want from the item you want, because that is called borer. So therefore, again, the Taz says, okay, no problem. If I remove a little bit of the wine together with the fly, so then what am I doing? Halachically, what am I essentially doing? I'm taking ochel from ochel. I'm removing wine from wine. The wine that I'm removing has a fly mixed into it. Okay, but it's wine from wine, and therefore not a borer problem at all. What was it? Yes?
Is it only by food, or would this work by other, clothing or something?
I mean, it could work by anything. I don't know that you're going to have a case that's not food where you could apply it to, but conceptually, it could work by anything. It wouldn't work with clothing, right? Because lemaisa, there's something you want, something you don't want. But yeah, technically, you should be able to work with anything. So look at number 7, Mishnah Berura. So Mishnah Berura says, "V'alkein kishenofel zvuv ol davar achar b'machal u'mashke lo yasra zvuv bein biyad bein bekli davi borer psoles me'ochel elo yikach kitsas gam me'amachal o ha'mashke imo v'yizrok." So the Mishnah Berura adapts the Taz. So I will say, so now this is very important to us. And by the way, this also opens up a lot of doors. So first of all, now let's go back. First of all, the whole peeling discussion that we had last week is not really such a big deal, it turns out, right? Why not? Why not? Because whenever you're peeling something, you're never just removing the peel, you're always removing some of the ochal together with the psola. So we'll say, so which is according to this Taz, peeling should never. So I'll tell you the one case where it would come up is Rav Moshe's case of the chicken and the skin, right? Because the skin could be removed without any chicken. So you could have, but otherwise, in general, when peeling something, or the truth is, I take it back, with an onion, you probably also could run, because an onion, technically speaking, you could take out, let's say, the outer, what do you call it? Layer. Yeah, the outer layer, without any of the ochel. But again, in a general case of peeling vegetables, peeling fruit, or I guess an orange also, you'd run into the same situation. Okay, whatever. So fine. Jose, so again, so the Mishnah Berurah adopts the Taz. Now take a look at, no, yes.
Can you say the reverse, if you remove psolas, but not all of it, you leave some psolas left, you're not really taking psolas from ochel, you're...
No, because lemaisa, you're still removing psolas. In other words, who says that the removal of psolas has to be absolute? That's true. If you remove some psolas from a mixture, that's the act of borer. You're saying the act of borer means the removal of all psolas. I don't know. But Pashtos, again, even if you look at the paradigmatic cases of borer, right? It was staged borer, right? When they would go ahead and they would thresh, right? Or all these things. It wasn't the pshata like in one fell swoop. You're removing all of the psolas. It's incremental. So let's say, take a look at number 8. It's very important, Ochar Shabbos here. And the Ochar Shabbos gives us the interesting dynamic of this. He says, Nechleku bedin hamotzi psolas min ha-tarobes v'notal ima ma'at ochel. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. Why does this work? Right? So now again, we could take the Taz, a simple case, right? If I go ahead and I have a glass of wine, a fly fell into the wine. So obviously, if I just pull out the fly, that's borer. But if I take some of the wine together with the fly, then that's going to be mutter. So the Aruch HaShabbos says, I just want to point this out very interesting to you, which is this halacha is not, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention this, which is actually interesting. It's the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah who comment on this. Right? So in other words, this concept doesn't originate with the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch does make reference to it, but it doesn't originate with the Shulchan Aruch. It actually originates with, it's the Shita of the Taz. Shita of the Taz. So Aruch HaShabbos says, what's the Pshat? So look what he writes over. He says, number 8, first set of underlying lines. Yesh shekosfu, sheba'ofen zeh adavar mutter, mishum shelo hotzi es hapsos levada min ha'ochel, ela he'ela ima k'tsas min ha'ochel. So we'll say, so let's take a step back. Let me say it differently. We know why this works, or at least conceptually I know why it works. Why? Because the act of borer is the act of removal of psolas from ochel. If there is ochel mixed in with the psolas, then halacha l'maaseh I could view it as what? Ochel from ochel and not psolas from ochel. The interesting machlokes is going to be is how much ochel do you need to have mixed in with the psolas in order for this to be mutter? So some say, even ktsas. All you really need is a tiny little bit of ochel to be removed together with the psolas, and you're good to go. He writes, "A timeum shegam ba'ofen zeh shehelu ma'at ochel ma'psolas mikol makom niskan shara ochel ma'psolas shaisem u'reves bo v'hinei ataz kasav demutu lahotzi zvuv min hakos emale ma'at mashkemo v'lama the Mishnah Berurah midvarav debechom makom shemotzi ma'at ochel ma'psolas ein iser b'dara." So both say, on one hand, you have the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah. And what they say essentially is, all you need is to remove a tiny little bit of ochel. As long as there is some amount of ochel that is being removed with the psolas, you're good. Now watch this. V'chazon ish cholik. The Chazon Ish disagrees. So I will say essentially, what the Chazon Ish is going to say, the Chazon Ish holds that in order for this to work, you have to be removing a significant amount of ochel. Now, how much is significant? So significant is enough. I think what Chazon Ish would say is significant is enough to say that when someone looks at this, they don't look at this as a way to circumvent halachas of borer, but it really looks like a case of ochel from ochel. So just pointing out that everyone agrees the concept works. The shaila is, how do you activate it? So Taz and Mishnah Berurah. So for example, in the case of the Taz where the fly falls into the wine. So according to Taz and Mishnah Berurah, all you need to do is remove a tiny little bit of wine together with the fly. According to the Chazon Ish, you got to pour off some significant amount of wine together with the fly.
That would seem to say, though, then, that using, let's say, a peeler,
to peel a vegetable might not work because that wouldn't look like
it. Let me say a little bit differently. It would mean that you'd have to kind of dig into that a little bit more. Correct.
So not a regular peeler.
Correct. Or even, I think if you apply more pressure, right, you take off more of the item. So, correct. Moshe Dov is saying good. According to the Taz Mishnah Berurah, pretty much, again, you just peel normally. Some of the fruit comes off, you're good to go. According to the Chazon Ish, you'd have to dig into that a little bit more. Now, again, I want to be clear. I don't know what the Chazon Ish holds by peelers. Right, right. We're assuming everybody holds like a Rav Avadji. I don't know what the Chazon Ish holds by peelers. I don't know.
He has a whole
thing over here. So again, we're not getting into the lumdus of it, but he explains the lumdus again in Orcho Shabbos. Again, he says, Kamus Gidola Shala Ochal, Ela Bechalukas Atarovis, the Shnei Chalokim, Hari Zimutar Galadas Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish, again, I think his Svara is actually, he comments on the case. We're not going to get into the Svara right now, but again, I will say for our purposes, let's just understand the Matthias of the Machlokes. Mishnah Berurah, all you need to do is remove a little bit of Ochal, Chazon Ish, you have to remove a bit more of the substance. Yes.
So when in that Makom Malkum there in the middle, Makom the Nitzkan Shara Okum of Solis, is he saying that only the first time you have to take some of the Okum with Solis, and after that you don't have to worry about it? Because what's the Tikkun? What's the correction that's occurring over here? Am I misunderstanding what he's saying?
Well, you're removing the Solis.
Yeah,
that's
the
Tikkun.
So the first time you use the Peelit. And the second time, do you also have to make sure there's...
No, well, see, I want to be clear. Let's move away from peelers, and I'll tell you why. Remember, the peeler's mutter. The peeler's mutter, even if you don't take any of the ochal with it, right? Because remember, again, that's the Shulchan Aruch's case. The Shulchan Aruch says that halach lamaisa, whenever you have something that could only be accessed by the removal of the peel, you're allowed to do it. Uh-huh. You just have to do it in close proximity to eating. That's all. So I want to move on. So I don't want to stay confused. So a peeler is going to, and Rav Avadji says an actual peeler itself is okay. I was just adding in that, interestingly enough, if you go with this idea of the Taz, then it could very well be that you can maybe even peel the vegetables or the fruit earlier on, even not in close proximity to eating, because halacha lemaisa, you're removing some ochel with it. That's why I was bringing up the case. But technically speaking, peeler is okay. But no, in order for this to work, this has to be done every time. In other words, every time you're removing psolas, you have to remove some ochel together with it. It's not just the first time and then everything else is fine afterwards. Every time has to be some ochel. Shavuot says, so a really interesting machlokes over here. Shemir Shabbos Kilchusa says in number 9, he says as follows. He says, Naflu, Migarini al Limon, O Besocha Sukkar, O Besocha Gvina. So he gives an example over here of, let's say, again, I have some lemon seeds, right, that fell into the sugar, right, or into the cheese, right, soft cheese. So now I want to remove the lemon seeds. So how do I do it? Lo Yotzim Levadam, El Yotzi Imam Kitsas Min HaSukkar, O Min HaGvina. So we'll say, the reason I'm bringing this up over here is because Halacha L'maisa, Shmir Shabbos Kilchusa, Paskin is like the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah, which is that in order to avoid the borer issue, all you need to do is remove a little bit of ochel. Shabbos says, so this is incredibly important. So let me tell you, for example, just a good simple case where this could come up. I have a piece of meat. The meat has fat on it. I don't, now again, obviously if I don't want to tread on borer at all, what could I do? Just eat the meat and leave behind the fat. That's the easiest thing to do. But let's say again, I want the fat off the plate. I want the fat off the piece of meat. So again, to cut away the fat itself, you can't do. Right? You can't do. Why? Because you know what I'm saying? That's borer. Now again, I want to point out, are you going to say to yourself, 1 second, it's not a mixture. Right? The meat is distinguishable. The fat. So remember again, this goes back to what we said before at the beginning of this year, which is anytime that you have two items that are attached to each other, that is a mixture. So therefore, I will say there seems to be a very simple fix. What's the simple fix? Take a little sliver of meat. And again, so according to the Chazon Ish, you'd have to take a lot. Now again, what's a lot? So I will say, I think a lot, just in other words, I think a lot would be defined like this, that after I cut that off, when a person would look at it, what would they say? If they'd say, oh, that's the fat, then you didn't take off enough. But if they'd say, oh, that's a piece of meat, then you've taken off enough. It's very subjective. But again, it appears from Shabbos Kilchus, it says, we really pass that to Mishnah Berurah and the Taz. So really all you need to do is cut away a little bit of meat together with the fat, and you're good to go.
Well, it's an issue for a lot. It's throwing it away, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't think he would say it's bal tashchis because halacha lemaisa again, bal tashchis means unnecessary waste. This is necessary in order to avoid borer.
Practically speaking, on that smaller piece that you cut off that has the mixture, you could just cut the meat and eat the meat part of that
yeah.
extracted piece.
Sure.
In other words, that you have enough meat to get your knife into it, and you just on the second shot you can.
Right, 100%, 100%. Right, right, very. You don't have to lose it. Very true. Very true. Very true.
When you said with the Nachum, Lachutzias, like Arim, and carving by Ochel, is that just kind of tipping his hat to the Chazon
Ish? Where are you looking? Back in.
After the Gavina, right? Mishon Sabrera.
That's the Chazon Ish. He's saying again, if you could go ahead and remove a more significant amount of food along with it, then do that. So it sounds like so Shmuel Shabbos Hilchos Slam Ikar then is paskening like the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz. So therefore, again, both sides. So this is very important. So therefore, the way to circumvent Borer is to remove not psolas from ochal, but ochal from ochal. Remove some ochal together with the psolas. Again, what he's saying is, if you could be machmir like the Chazon Ish and avoid the issue according to everyone, mat tovu mamnon. But me'ikra dini paskins like the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz. All right. But I want you to skip now a little bit to one of my favorite topics over here. Go to page 4. Go to page 4. Again, not that what we're skipping is not important, but go to page 4. So we'll say this is a great sugya that at least we'll start for tonight. The topic of making filtered coffee, pour-over coffee, and French press coffee over Shabbos, on Shabbos. So this is an important sugya, especially, again, if you're addicted to coffee, right? And coffee is as important to you as oxygen, right? Then lemaisa, again, this is a very important sugya. Because again, if you're one of those people, so instant doesn't do it. So let's analyze this. Shabbos happens also halachically, it's a fascinating sugya. Take a look at number one. So the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos says, Chum omrim, ein tolin as hamishmeres b'yamtiv, vein nostin letluya b'shabbos, aval nostin letluya b'yamtiv. So we'll say, let's skip yamtiv for now. But that's what I want to focus on. He says as follows. Well, the Chum say, you cannot go ahead and tolin as hamishmeres, means we'll say mishmeres is a strainer. A strainer. Now, when the strainer they're actually talking about over here is really could just be just like a cloth that you would go ahead and you would essentially hang it up. And really what they would do is they would put, here we're talking about grapes, they would take grape sediment, put it on the strainer, and what would happen? And the liquid would strain through, and the grapes obviously would remain on top. So therefore, again, the Gemara says that you can't go ahead and hang up the Mishmeres on Yom Tov, right? And on Shabbos, even if the strainer was already set up, you can't put the grape mass onto the strainer on Shabbos, right? So even though, again, the strainer is set up already, I can't put the grape mass onto the strainer on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Okay, so this is just the imagery, by the way. If you could imagine for a moment, you have like a cloth strainer that's hanging, and like it kind of comes down to a point. You go, it's suspended over a barrel. You put the dregs, or you put the grape mass in there, and just over time, the liquid seeps through. Okay, so what I want you to take from this Mishnah is that halacha lemaisa, even if you have the strainer set up before Shabbos, you can't put the grapes in there on Shabbos. Okay, the Rambam in Perashat Mishnah number 2 writes as follows: "says What's the pshat? Rabbi Eliezer Omer told us hamishmaros biyamtov. He says mishmaros husak shed nostin besocho shmari hayayin. So this literally was a cloth." You would put inside of it the crushed grapes. Vayayin yored mimenu zach v'tzalol. V'amishmeres koletes es hashmarim. So the Rambam here is just describing what this strainer was. So right, the liquid would go ahead and drain out of the cloth, and the grapes would remain inside. V'asru chacham letlosa b'shab, b'shalo yasek yidarshu osa b'chol. V'amisarin shram b'shab, b'mishmeres osa melocha, shehi told us borer. Okay? So the act of putting a grape mass, right, the act of putting the grapes into the strainer is the malacha of borer. So you know what I'm saying? So even if the strainer is set up, the act of placing the grapes inside of it is the malacha of borer. Okay, that's halacha one. Look at source number 3, right? Page 4, source number 3. Mishnah, nostin mayim agabe shram b'shol shiyitzolu. It's very interesting. The Mishnah says, you could put water on top of shmarim, or wine, like crushed grapes. So let me just describe to you what's happening over here, right? You made wine, right? You crushed the grapes. Now, often what they would do is after the initial crush, what would they do? They would run water over that grape mass again so that the water could absorb the flavor of the grapes going through. So if you can imagine over here, you have the strainer, you have the grape mass sitting in there, and now you want to pour water on that. The Mishnah says you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So, but again, let's be clear, right? The strainer was set up before Shabbos. The grape mass was put in there before Shabbos, right? Because as we saw in number one, you can't put the mass, you can't put the grape mass in the strainer on Shabbos. So everything was set up before Shabbos. What am I doing on Shabbos? What's happening on Shabbos? I'm pouring the water. And this is mutter. Now, I will say, when you hear this, it sounds like a bit of like a shock to the system. This is mutter. This is mutter. This sounds like borer. So I say, so take a look at number four. It's a very interesting idea by the Piskei Rit. He says as follows. He says, Perish Shmarim. So they would put the grape mass, was put into the strainer before Shabbos. V'nistanu hayayin shaban va'achshav hin avin ve'enon yardin. Mutr lo seis l'soch ha'mayim kadei l'lach l'chon v'yimashech hayayin acher ha'mayim v'yiklutu ha'mayim v'nashar tam yayin. So it says, what am I doing? I want the water that I'm pouring in to absorb the flavor of the grapes. So why is this mutter? So the Piskei Rit writes, he says, Ve'ein ze sinun. This is not considered to be straining. This is not an act of borah. Why not? Shamayim kasher sham osan kach yetzu v'lo nisparah psozen. So it's actually a fascinating idea. What does he explain? Essentially, you're pouring water on the great mass, and essentially the same water that goes in is the same water that comes out. In other words, we'll say there's no act of borer on the water that you are pouring. It's such an interesting way to look at this. Now, again, remember, there's a number of criteria over here. The strainer is set up before Shabbos. The grape mass is in there before Shabbos. All I'm doing on Shabbos is pouring water over that grape mass. And therefore, the Piskei Rit says it's mutter. What borer am I doing? I'm not separating anything. Essentially, I'm just pouring water and the water is just seeping through. It happens to be the water is collecting flavor. But a collection of flavor is not a malacha. So therefore he holds that it's totally mutter. I mean, this is not, he's explaining why the Mishnah says that it's mutter. He says, V'ela she'chib she'tafsu ki'yuha min ha'shmar v'yeshban tam yayin. All the water is doing in its journey is collecting flavor. That's all that's happening. It's collecting flavor. And because it's collecting flavor, ultimately no borer. All right, so both sides. So now, watch this. So the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, paskins this way. Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Yotez Siftez says this. Mishameres afilu tluyim erev Shabbos, asur litin bashmarim, aval emnasim bashmarim erev Shabbos, mutur litin aleim mayim kidei shiachsur tzum lezuf. So both sides. This is halacha l'maisa. So again, let's go through what you can't do, right? What can't I do? Number one, I can't set up the strainer on Shabbos, right? Number two, I can't put the grape mass in the strainer on Shabbos, okay? But assuming the strainer was set up before Shabbos, the grape mass was set up before Shabbos, what can I do? I could pour water through it, right? Why? Isn't that borer? No, because what am I doing? I'm pouring water. Same water that goes in is the same water that comes out. It collects some flavor on the way, but absolutely not a problem at all. I will say, now watch this. Why is this important for us? So let's take a look at source number six. So now remember, let's try to apply this now. Let's try to apply this now to our pour over coffee. Right? So how does pour over coffee work? You have the image there on your sheets. Remember, how is it working? You essentially have a receptacle on the bottom. On top of the receptacle, you have a kli. That kli holds a coffee filter. Inside of the coffee filter, ultimately, again, the coffee is the ground coffee. It's the ground coffee, right? Ground coffee beans. What are you doing in the pour over? Pretty simple. You're pouring the hot water onto the ground coffee. It's coming through the strainer and ultimately, again, going through. Now, both sides.
By the grape case, you've already extracted most of the grape juice. It seems like that's only being done as like a secondary removal or getting flavor.
I don't know that that matters. I don't know that matters. I think the svara is the water's just passing through. In other words, what does it matter if it's first flavor, secondary flavor? We don't really care about flavor, right? That's not the svara. The svara is what you're pouring in is what's coming out. It's just the flavor changed. So as long as when I pour in, nothing is actively being held back, it's mutter. I don't know that that matters. So we'll say, so based on what we learn, should it be permitted to make pour over coffee on Shabbos?
Yes.
No. No, it should not be mutter. What? Sorry, why? Right. So remember, again, based on what we learned, it should be mutter as long as you set up the filter, everything before Shabbos. Because remember, again, I will say, now again, we're leaving aside Bishul. Let's assume for a moment there's no Bishul right now, which in general, again, even you know, freshly ground coffee that you buy is still usually processed in some way, right? So again, leaving aside Bishul right now, let's leave that aside, right? But Lemaisa, it sounds like it should work, right? Because it's the same thing as pouring the water over the grape skins. But again, in the grape skins, you have to have everything set up before Shabbos, right? So, because that's the case. Because it's a kli. Because it's a kli. Because it's a kli of borer. It's a kli of borer. You're using a borer kli. How can you set up a borer kli on Shabbos? A sieve, right? A strainer is mukta on Shabbos.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying putting the grape mass into the putting it into the sieve. Isn't the problem that the grape mass is now going to be sifted or whatever you call it, strained?
Oh, guys, hold on. Okay, hold up. So again, let's take it from the Mishnah and apply it to contemporarily. Based on what we learned, halach l'maisa, it would appear that you could do the pour over coffee on Shabbos, but it'd be required to set it up on Erev Shabbos. Just again, if you just line up the cases, they seem to be the exact same thing. So no problem, make it on Shabbos that way. All you're doing on Shabbos is pouring the water in, and ultimately, again, it's going right through. So take a look at number 6. And this is in line about what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to also convey also. Just watch this. Take a look at number 6. He says, U'mashakaz v'shochan arach lahatir, nesinas hashmarim rak me'erev Shabbos, mayri bishmarim retuvim, usifugim miyayin habalua mehem. So again, like Rabbi Yehuda was just saying, so the Piskei Tshuva is very interesting. Why does the grape mass have to be put on the strainer before Shabbos? Why? Because it's wet. You can't put that there on Shabbos. Because if you put that there on Shabbos, we'll say, what happens by definition when you put the grape mass on top of a strainer? What happens? Stuff just, again, granted, I'm not doing anything, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, stuff is straining through. That's why Halacha Lamaisa, you need to be able to do that on Erev Shabbos. Now watch this, he says as follows. He says, So remember again, halacha l'maisa, even technically speaking, if you weren't pouring water, it would have been common to take a grape mass and to put it on top of a strainer so as to allow any liquid to go ahead and strain through. So I'll say, now watch this. He says, the ain zav mehem klum. Now we'll say contrast this with the coffee grinds. What happens when you put the coffee, right? The ground coffee. What happens when you put that in the strainer? What happens?
Nothing.
Nothing happens. Therefore, I say Piskei Tshuvas, Vaday Roshay Lanichem Bemisneras Gam B'Shabbes Kedei Litein Aleihem Mayim. So therefore, Piskei Tshuva's paskin. This is really fascinating that Halacha L'maisa, pour over coffee on Shabbos is totally mutter. What about borer? There's no borer. Why isn't there a borer? Because Rabbi Sagan, what are you doing? You're pouring water. No problem. What happens to the water? Same water that goes in is the same water that comes out. It's just acquiring flavor. Acquiring flavor is not a problem. It's not a problem. What about the fact that in the Mishnah, you had to set everything up before Shabbos? That's because in the Mishnah, we're dealing with a grape mass, which oozes liquid. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, again, you can't put that on the strainer on Shabbos because that, by definition, will affect borer. But by the dry coffee grounds, where there's no, again, nothing's coming out, halacha l'maaseh pasuk, you could even do it on Shabbos. Now, again, I do want to point out, we're not addressing the Bishul issue. We're not addressing Bishul issue. So again, one would have to be careful with Bishul. So for example, one would not be able to take water directly from their urn, right, to go ahead and pour it on the... Again, and everything depends also what kind of coffee you're using, right? Very often, again, even fresh coffee has been processed to a degree. So at least it's freeze-dried. Something has happened, in which case they wouldn't really be subject to Bishul. But we'll leave the Bishul issues for when we get to Bishul. But halacha l'maisa, according to Piskei Tshuvas, you can make the pour over coffee on Shabbos. Yeah. There's no tzoveya by ochlin. There's no coloring by, right? Otherwise, you couldn't do a lot of things on Shabbos, which... Yeah, correct. like another cup of coffee. Yeah, as long as you're not taking it out, I don't think it's a problem. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's gonna be good coffee. I wouldn't suggest it, like kind of like from a coffee perspective. But I think from a halachic perspective, it's totally fine. Yeah. Yes.
Are you allowed to just use a strainer as like a bowl to hold apples?
Oh, so good. So yes. Yeah. So the answer to that is yes. Remember again, a strainer is a klisha malach tola iser, right? Is utensil has a primarily prohibited function, right? But like any klisha malach tola iser, you can use let's sort of you use it in a permitted way. So absolutely, you can't just stam, you know, move your strainer around if you don't have a purpose for it. But if you wanted to use it as a basket, totally fine.
If you were like washing apples in a strainer in your sink, is that the same water like coming out is going through? I don't know.
Is it the same water going through? Yeah, but there, I think the issue just is, right, the avoda of it is to remove the impurities from the apple, right?
Yes.
There, your avoda is the dafka to remove something. So I'm not just passing it through. I think the avoda is to go ahead and it's to clean. I think that'd be borer. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, would this be the same with the tea bag?
So we're going to deal with tea bags separately because tea in general is a separate discussion because tea is much more problematic because tea falls into the category of what we call kali habishal, items that are easily cooked. So we're going to deal with tea when we deal with bishal. The tea bag itself could potentially be an issue of borer, but there's much bigger issues with the tea bag than that. So as I said, I just want to point out that that the one issue that does come up is, and again, just do this quickly outside, is French press coffee. So French press, that's the picture on page number 5. So French press is much more complicated, right? So remember again, how do you make French press coffee? So essentially, you can see over here, you have the water, you put in the grinds, and the difference with the French press is you have like that plunger thing where you push it down that essentially pushes the grounds all the way to the bottom, leaving the grounds to the bottom and the coffee on top. That is going to be halachically problematic. Now, technically speaking, if you were to make coffee in this French press receptacle and not use the plunger and allow the grounds to settle to the bottom and just pour off the coffee, technically that would be mutter. Technically that would be mutter. But it's a little bit of a day. The poskim generally bring down that it is better not to use this type of kli, since again, this is really a kli that is used for bar. That's the whole avoda of it, is to push the grounds down to the bottom in order to go ahead and keep the liquid on top. Okay, so we'll say, so therefore again, pour over, totally good. French press, usser. Us for our purposes. Now it happens to be, we're not going to get into it now because, like I said, we'll use it a little bit more over the course of Bishul, but I just do want to point it out just for the sake intellectual honesty, is that remember what we're not addressing by the pour over coffee is where you're getting the hot water from, right? I know that I can't go ahead and use it. I know that I can't use it from a kli rishon. Right, the shaila just is: do you need a kli sheni? Do you need a kli shlishi? So, according to most opinions, the way to make pour over coffee, assuming that the coffee you're using has not really been processed, it's just been ground, is ideally one should really use a kli shlishi. Right, that's the ideal. Because Rav Moshe, again, the tshuva you have over here, number 7, is that Rav Moshe paskins that a kli shlishi is not mevashal. A kli shlishi does not affect any level of bishul. Right now, again, others disagree with this. Obviously, we're going to see this actually comes up in the sugya of tea, because the shaila is, again, we say kli shlishi is not mevashal, is it mevashal kali abishal, items that are easily cooked, but we'll say that for bishal. But Moshe paskins in general that a kli shlishi does not affect any level of bishal. So just to kind of bring it together, even though we'll do bishal separately, Moshe paskins, or the contemporary wisdom is that if you're going to make pour over coffee, make it with water from a kli shlishi, which means, again, you take it to your urn, right? If your urn is your kli rishon, you pour it into a cup, that's a kli sheni, pour that into a second cup, and now, again, that is your kli shlishi, and pour over with that, thereby avoiding all bishul issues. So I will say, shkoyach, we'll stop over here for tonight. All right, we'll see. I'm very eager to move on to bishul, but we'll see. Maybe we'll spend one more week on borer. Stay tuned. I will say, shkoyach. I think we're going to do amud yomi in the shul.